until she said it.
Have you tried this exercise on anything larger?
Not yet.
Shall we experiment? Attempt to move the fork in your bowl.
Oh, I don't know. That's quite a bit heavier than a noodle.
Are you speaking of the force as being heavier, or the fork?
Well, I... Her words stunned me again. I'd been looking at it from the wrong angle, which only underscored my need for help. I meant the fork, but I guess that's not what I should be worried about. You've made me realize I'm in a mental rut, and it's going to take some effort to get myself out of it. If I'm moving the fork, I'm manipulating the force instead of the steel. Okay, I'll give it a try. I unconsciously stretched out my fingers toward the fork and stopped, taking the time to consciously note it. Why had I done that? My fingers wouldn't move the force. That was a task for my mind. But perhaps that unconscious gesture reflected the focus of my mind. Since my attention was directed at the fork, my hand naturally followed, being used to doing my bidding. Maybe that's all there was behind Obi-Wan's gesture at Mos Eisley then, when he did something to the minds of those stormtroopers. The hand movement wasn't key to the procedure, but rather an unconscious reflection of Obi-Wan's mental focus. I felt foolish again, remembering my failure to influence the Rodian at Jakku spaceport, waving my hand in his face like an idiot. But even that small insight was easy to second guess. If I ever had the good fortune to be trained by a real Jedi, he or she would probably tell me that hand motion was vital, serving a function I couldn't even fathom. And all my halting progress was little more than staggering drunk in the dark and taking the wrong road home. I refocused, took a couple of deep breaths, and reached out again to the force, urging it to lift the fork out of the bowl. It didn't twitch so much as shift lazily in the soup, like a teenager who, commanded to get up out of bed, rolled over instead and went aggressively back to sleep.
I do not mean to presume, but perhaps you should close your eyes,
Drusel suggested.
The Force is an unseen power, so it is plausible that your sight may be interfering somehow, occupying a part of your mind that should be focused elsewhere.
Of course. She was right. I wasn't flying an X-Wing now, and R2's translated words weren't scrolling past on a screen. I didn't need to see. And I knew from recent experience that I felt the Force more clearly when I minimized visual distractions. Okay, I'll give it another try that way. I shut my eyes and let my awareness expand, and the Force took on a stronger presence, as if it were giving me its full attention now. It was probably the opposite. My full attention was on the Force. It built within me, and I coaxed it to lift the fork out of the bowl. Not a jerk or a leap, but a slow, sustained levitation, laden with noodles that dripped noisily as they cleared the puddle of juices in the bowl, redolent of garlic and peanuts. To give Drusel credit, she made no noises that might distract me during the process. I was about to smile and savor the victory when a voice that was decidedly not Drusel's whooped nearby.
That's right, pilot. Feed your partner with magic noodles.
Startled, I opened my eyes, lost my concentration, and the fork plopped down into the noodles with a loud glop and splashed me with what must have been half the broth.
Aw, not again, I said, looking down at the mess.
Now that's a useful skill, Luke,
Nakari said. She pulled out a chair next to Drusel on the other side of the table and slid into it, her eyes sparkling behind a lock of dark curls.
I'm just going to sit down over here, and you can force-feed me from over there, okay? Congratulations on the new stain, by the way. You really look like you smell good.
Her smile was infectious,
but I asked her, "Are you finished?" in an effort to cut off her teasing.
"Not even close. You know, you should exhibit your tunics on one of those fancy art planets. What do you think, Drusel? Does he have a decent chance at making it as an artist if the piloting career doesn't work out?"
The Given looked disturbed as she flailed about for an answer. She might have thought that Nakari was asking seriously instead of merely taking the opportunity to give me grief.
"There's no accounting for taste," she finally muttered.
My embarrassment must have shown, for Nakari said,
"Hey, Luke, comparatively speaking, a little spilled broth is no big deal. Remember, I've seen you covered in poodoo, and I still think you're fine."